During the Great Depression, American families had a secret growing in their backyards, 25 incredible vegetables that people today have completely forgotten. These tough plants helped entire families survive the hardest times in modern American history. Let's discover these forgotten vegetables that our grandparents relied on. The rutabaga, the Depression's hidden gem. Back in the 1930s, times were tough, but smart families had a secret growing in their gardens, the rutabaga. People called it the poor man's potato, but this vegetable was actually worth its weight in gold. Unlike regular potatoes, rutabagas packed more vitamin C than oranges, making them a real lifesaver when fresh fruit was hard to come by. What made them even more valuable was their amazing storage life. These hardy vegetables stayed fresh for 4 to 6 months in a simple root cellar. But here's the best part. Rutabagas didn't care about poor soil. When other vegetables would barely grow, rutabagas thrived, producing bumper crops even in the worst conditions. Families could plant them in late summer and harvest enough to last through the entire winter. The magnificent mangelwurzel, the giant that fed America. Speaking of winter food, let me tell you about something that might sound strange today. The mangelwurzel. Imagine a beet, but one that grew as big as a bowling ball. These giants could reach up to 20 pounds each, and during the Depression, they were worth their weight in gold. While most people today have never heard of them, mangelwurzels were amazing because they served double duty. Families would eat them like regular beets, cooking them to bring out their natural sweetness. And they'd also use them to feed their livestock through the winter. The best part? These massive roots could be stored for months in a simple root cellar, providing food security when it was needed most. Their high sugar content made them surprisingly tasty when cooked, especially when baked like a potato or added to soups. Now, while mangelwurzels were the giants of the garden, there was another root vegetable that brought something completely different to the table, a taste that reminded people of better times. Salsify, the oyster plant that grew on land. While mangelwurzels were the giants of the garden, families had another clever trick up their sleeves, a remarkable root vegetable called salsify. What made this vegetable special was its unique flavor that reminded people of fresh oysters, bringing a touch of luxury to even the humblest dinner table. During the Depression, salsify became a family favorite because it was like having a root cellar right in your garden. You could leave it in the ground all winter and dig it up whenever you needed food. When you weren't ready to harvest, it would wait patiently underground, staying fresh for up to 6 months. Clever gardeners also discovered that salsify was like getting two vegetables in one. They could eat both the roots and the greens, making every plant twice as valuable. Jerusalem artichokes, the Native American survivor. Now, if salsify was clever, Jerusalem artichokes were pure genius. These plants were here long before the Depression, taught to European settlers by Native Americans who had grown them for centuries. Unlike other vegetables that needed replanting every year, Jerusalem artichokes were perennial, meaning once you planted them, they came back on their own year after year. They had a natural sweetness thanks to something called inulin, making them a treat when other foods were scarce. But here's what made them truly special. You could harvest them all winter long, even in frozen ground, by simply digging up what you needed and leaving the rest for later. And if you were worried about having enough for next year, these plants actually spread on their own, creating a reliable food supply that grew bigger every season. Winter radishes, the giants that protected gardens. While the small red radishes we know today might look cute in our salads, Depression-era families grew something much more impressive. Winter radishes. These weren't your ordinary radishes. They grew as big as turnips and packed much more food value. Families would plant them in late summer, and by fall, they'd have massive roots that could feed a family for days. During the Depression, every part of these giants was put to use. The roots were sliced for meals or shredded for storage, while the greens were cooked up just like spinach, providing vital nutrients when fresh vegetables were scarce. But winter radishes had another trick that made them extra valuable. They naturally kept pests away from other vegetables. Gardeners would plant them around their other crops, creating a natural barrier that protected the entire garden. The best part, these hardy vegetables could be stored right through winter in a simple root cellar, staying crisp and fresh for months. When money was tight, having vegetables that could both protect your garden and feed your family made winter radishes worth their weight in gold. Parsnips, nature's sugar factory. After the first frost hit the garden, something magical happened to parsnips. They transformed from ordinary root vegetables into nature's candy. Unlike other vegetables that suffered in cold weather, parsnips actually got better, converting their starches into natural sugars that made them surprisingly sweet. During the Depression, this made them incredibly valuable because sugar was often too expensive for many families to buy. A single row of parsnips could provide both food and sweetness all winter long. These vegetables were packed with calories too, much more than carrots or potatoes, making them perfect for hard-working families who needed energy-rich food. Depression-era gardeners discovered they could leave parsnips right in the ground through winter, using the earth as a natural storage cellar. Whenever they needed food, they'd just dig up a few roots, even if the ground was frozen. The ones left in the ground would stay fresh until spring, providing reliable food when other vegetables were long gone. Some families would even mark their parsnip rows with tall stakes so they could find them under the snow. Hamburg rooted parsley, the two-in-one wonder. When times were tough during the Depression, families needed plants that could do more than one job, and Hamburg rooted parsley was exactly that kind of vegetable. Unlike the parsley we know today that just gives us leaves, this forgotten variety developed large, sturdy roots underground that looked similar to parsnips. These roots weren't just for show. They stored perfectly through winter in simple root cellars, providing food when fresh vegetables were hard to find. Above ground, the leaves were exactly like regular parsley, packed with more vitamin C than oranges, and adding fresh flavor to meals year-round. Depression-era families would harvest the leaves all summer long, using them fresh or drying them for winter use. Then, when fall came, they'd dig up the thick, white roots and store them alongside their other root vegetables. These roots had a rich, earthy flavor that added depth to soups and stews, while still providing the same vitamins and minerals that made parsley so valuable. Smart gardeners would plant several rows, harvesting roots from some while letting others continue producing leaves. Turnips, the six-week savior. During the Depression, time was just as precious as money, and that's where turnips proved their worth. In just 6 weeks, faster than almost any other vegetable, a family could go from planting seeds to harvesting full-grown turnips. This quick growth meant that even if other crops failed, there was still time to plant turnips and have food for winter. But speed wasn't their only strength. These hardy vegetables laughed at drought, growing strong even when rain was scarce and other plants were wilting in the garden. Depression-era families learned to make the most of every turnip plant. The roots could be eaten fresh, mashed like potatoes, or stored in root cellars for months. Meanwhile, the greens were a meal in themselves, packed with nutrients and perfect for cooking or adding to soups. Some families would plant turnips several times during the growing season, some for immediate eating, others for storage, and still more just for the constant supply of fresh greens they provided. Even when the summer garden was done, stored turnips kept providing food through the cold months. Collard greens, the survivor's green. In the depths of the Depression, families needed vegetables that wouldn't quit, and collard greens proved to be exactly that. These remarkable greens had an amazing ability that set them apart. They kept growing when other garden vegetables gave up. During summer heat waves that would wilt lettuce and spinach, collards stood tall and strong, their thick leaves continuing to provide fresh food for the table. Then, when winter frost killed off most other greens, collards just got sweeter, often surviving temperatures as low as 10 degrees. This meant families could harvest fresh vegetables nearly year-round from the same plants. Depression-era gardeners would start picking the lower leaves in early summer, and the plants would keep producing new leaves from the top, like a never-ending food factory. When they had more leaves than they could eat fresh, preserving them was simple. They could be canned, dried, or even salted down in barrels. These preserved greens became a crucial source of vitamins during winter months when fresh vegetables were scarce. Most importantly, collards packed more nutrition than almost any other green vegetable, providing calcium for strong bones and enough vitamin C to keep families healthy through the lean times. Swiss chard, the cut-and-come-again champion. While collards were the winter champions, Swiss chard was the vegetable that kept on giving throughout the growing season. Depression-era families discovered that Swiss chard had an almost magical ability. The more you harvested it, the more it grew. This cut-and-come-again nature meant that just a few plants could feed a family for months. Unlike regular greens that needed replanting every few weeks, Swiss chard would keep producing from the same stalks all season long. The large, crinkled leaves could be harvested when young and tender for fresh eating, or left to grow larger for cooking. Even in the hottest part of summer, when lettuce would bolt and turn bitter, Swiss chard remained sweet and productive. What made it especially valuable during the Depression was its incredible vitamin content, particularly vitamins A and C, which were otherwise hard to come by. Families would plant their Swiss chard near the kitchen door for easy harvesting, picking a few leaves every day for months on end. A single row of plants could provide fresh greens from late spring until the hard frosts of fall. Winter cabbage, the Danish bullhead, secret. During the Depression, one variety of cabbage stood head and shoulders above the rest, the Danish bullhead. This wasn't your ordinary cabbage. It was specially bred for long-term storage, and it became a lifesaver for families trying to make it through winter. What made Danish bullhead so special was its incredibly dense head, packed so tight that a single cabbage felt as heavy as a bowling ball. This density wasn't just for show. It allowed these cabbages to stay fresh for an amazing 6 to 8 months in a root cellar, no special treatment needed. Even when frost hit the garden, these tough plants stood their ground, actually getting sweeter as temperatures dropped. Families discovered they could harvest heads all the way until the ground froze solid. The vitamin C content was so high that just one serving provided as much as a glass of orange juice. Crucial during winter months when fresh fruit wasn't available. Smart gardeners would plant their winter cabbage in midsummer, timing it so the heads would mature just as the cold weather arrived. They knew that a good crop of Danish bullhead meant their families would have fresh vegetables long after the garden was buried in snow. Navy beans, the protein powerhouse. While most vegetables provided vitamins and minerals, Depression-era families needed something that could replace expensive meat, and that's where navy beans became worth their weight in gold. These small white beans were protein powerhouses, providing nearly as much protein as a serving of meat at a fraction of the cost. But their value went far beyond just nutrition. Navy beans had a remarkable ability to dry right on the vine, making them practically foolproof to store. Families would plant them in spring, tend them through summer, and by fall, they'd have beans that could last for years without any special storage equipment needed. During the growing season, these beans did something extraordinary. They actually improved the soil they grew in by fixing nitrogen from the air. This meant that not only did they feed families today, but they made the garden more productive for next year's crops. Depression-era gardeners would often plant navy beans alongside their corn, letting the beans climb the corn stalks while enriching the soil for both plants. A single row of navy beans could produce enough dried beans to provide protein for a family all winter long. People would store them in simple glass jars or cloth sacks, knowing they had a reliable source of protein ready whenever they needed it. Kentucky Wonder Pole beans, the vertical victory. During the Depression, garden space was precious, and Kentucky Wonder Pole beans solved this problem brilliantly by growing up instead of out. These remarkable climbing beans could reach heights of 7 to 8 feet, turning a small corner of the garden into a food-producing tower. Once they started producing, these beans seemed almost magical. The more you picked, the more they grew. Families would send their children out every morning to harvest the new beans that had appeared overnight. A single pole bean plant could produce for months, providing fresh green beans for summer meals and plenty extra to dry for winter. Depression-era gardeners would set up simple poles or trellises made from whatever they had, branches, twine, or even old ladder backs. These resourceful techniques meant that even families with tiny backyard gardens could grow enough beans to last through winter. The Kentucky Wonder variety became famous for its reliability. Even in poor soil or tough conditions, these beans would produce abundantly. Their dual-purpose nature meant families could eat them fresh during summer or let them mature into dry beans for winter protein, ground cherries, nature's candy, wrapped in paper. While most garden vegetables were purely practical, ground cherries brought something special to Depression-era gardens. A touch of sweetness wrapped in nature's own paper packaging, these unusual fruits related to tomatoes grew inside papery husks that looked like tiny Chinese lanterns. The husks served as perfect natural wrappers, protecting the sweet golden fruits inside and allowing them to store for months without any special treatment. Depression-era children would delight in finding these wrapped candies in the garden, peeling back the paper-like husks to reveal the marble-sized fruits that tasted like a mix of pineapple and vanilla. What made ground cherries especially valuable was their self-seeding nature. Once you had them in your garden, they would come back year after year on their own. Families could store ground cherries right in their husks in a cool, dry place, and they would keep fresh for months, providing rare sweet treats long after other fruits were gone. The plants produced continuously from midsummer until frost, ensuring a steady supply of these naturally wrapped treasures. Field peas, the tough southern survivor. In the unrelenting heat and drought of the Depression years, field peas proved themselves as true survivors of the South. These hardy legumes thrived when other plants withered, their deep roots reaching down to find moisture even in the driest soil. Like nature's own drought insurance, field peas would keep producing food even when rain was scarce. Families valued them for their incredible versatility. Young pods could be eaten fresh like snap beans, tender peas could be shelled for immediate use, or the peas could be left to dry right on the vine for winter storage. But field peas did more than just feed families. They actually improved the soil they grew in, enriching it with nitrogen that would help next year's crops grow better. This dual-purpose role made them invaluable in Depression-era gardens, where every plant needed to earn its keep. Their high protein content meant they could serve as a meat substitute, helping families stay healthy even when they couldn't afford other protein sources. Field corn, the foundation of survival. When people think of corn today, they picture sweet corn eaten fresh off the cob. But during the Depression, families relied on something far more valuable, field corn. This wasn't the sweet corn we know today. It was a hardy, high-calorie crop that could feed a family for months. Field corn had an incredible advantage over other vegetables because it served multiple purposes. Families would let it mature fully on the stalk until the kernels were hard and dry. Once harvested, these dried kernels could be ground into cornmeal, providing the foundation for countless meals, from cornbread and porridge to corn cakes and mush. A single acre of field corn could produce enough cornmeal to feed a family for an entire year. The dried corn stored perfectly in a simple barn or shed, requiring no special equipment or preparation. During the hardest times of the Depression, this cornmeal became the backbone of family nutrition, providing essential calories when other foods were scarce. Storage onions, the long-lasting keeper. While field corn provided the calories, storage onions brought both flavor and incredible keeping power to Depression-era pantries. These weren't the sweet onions we find in grocery stores today. These were tough, long-keeping varieties like Yellow Globe and Australian Brown that could last an amazing 8 to 10 months when properly stored. Depression-era families prized these onions not just for their flavor, but for their natural ability to fight disease and preserve other foods. When stored alongside other vegetables, the natural compounds in storage onions helped prevent spoilage, extending the life of an entire root cellar. These hardy onions were remarkably easy to grow, thriving in almost any soil and requiring very little care. Families would plant them in spring, harvest in late summer, and braid the strong tops together to hang in cool, dry places. A good crop of storage onions meant having both seasoning and vegetable throughout the winter months, adding vital nutrients and flavor to winter meals. Cardoons, the forgotten winter delicacy. Just when the garden seemed most bare, cardoons, also known as cardoons, provided an unexpected winter treat. These remarkable plants, close cousins to the artichoke, brought something special to Depression-era gardens. Fresh vegetables in the middle of winter. Looking like giant silvery celery stalks, cardoons were prized for their unique ability to produce edible stalks even in cold weather. Unlike most garden vegetables that died back in winter, cardoons were perennial in many areas, coming back year after year without replanting. The plants grew impressively tall, creating striking silvery green towers in the garden that could withstand frost and continue producing food well into winter. Depression-era families would blanch the stalks by wrapping them in paper or cloth, resulting in tender, artichoke-flavored stems that could be baked, braised, or added to soups. This cold, hardy nature meant fresh vegetables when most gardens were dormant under snow. Skirret, the sweet root time forgot. While modern gardens focus on carrots for sweetness, Depression-era families knew about a far more remarkable root vegetable, skirret. This forgotten treasure produced clusters of white roots that tasted sweeter than carrots and packed more natural sugar than almost any other root vegetable. What made skirret truly valuable was its perennial nature. Once planted, it would come back year after year, producing more roots with each passing season. During the Depression, when sugar was often too expensive for many families to buy, skirret provided a natural sweetness that made plain meals more enjoyable. The plants were incredibly hardy, laughing at winter's worst weather while storing their sweet roots safely underground. Families could harvest these roots all winter long, simply digging what they needed and leaving the rest in the ground, nature's own root cellar. Each plant would grow bigger and produce more roots every year, creating an expanding source of food that required almost no work to maintain. Good King Henry, the king of spring greens. When most garden vegetables were still months away from producing, Good King Henry earned its royal name by providing some of the first fresh food of spring. This remarkable perennial green was like having multiple vegetables in one plant. As soon as the snow melted, tender shoots would emerge that could be harvested and cooked like asparagus. As the plant grew taller, its arrow-shaped leaves provided fresh greens that could be eaten raw or cooked like spinach. The plant's self-seeding nature meant it spread itself naturally, creating new plants without any effort from the gardener. Depression-era families valued Good King Henry because it was among the first fresh vegetables available after winter, appearing weeks before other garden plants were ready to harvest. Once established, these plants would return year after year, growing stronger and producing more food each season. They required almost no care, thriving in spots where other vegetables wouldn't grow. American groundnut, the native superfood. Long before the Depression, Native Americans knew about a remarkable vine that produced food-packed tubers, the American groundnut. This native plant had an extraordinary secret. Its underground tubers contained three times the protein of potatoes, making it one of the most nutritious root crops ever grown in American gardens. During the Depression, this high protein content made groundnuts incredibly valuable as a meat substitute. The vines would climb up corn stalks or garden fences, producing clusters of marble-sized tubers that could be harvested without killing the plant. These tubers could stay fresh right in the ground through winter, creating a natural storage system that required no special preparation. Each plant would spread underground, creating new tubers that could be harvested year after year. Depression-era families discovered what Native Americans had known for centuries, that a patch of groundnuts provided reliable, high-protein food with almost no effort. The plants were virtually indestructible, surviving drought, poor soil, and harsh winters, while continuing to produce their nutritious tubers. Runner beans, beauty meets bounty. During the Depression, every plant in the garden needed to earn its keep, and runner beans went above and beyond this call of duty. These remarkable climbing beans served triple duty in the garden, providing fresh snap beans in summer, dry beans for winter, and stunning flowers that brought beauty to even the hardest times. Unlike regular pole beans, runner beans produced beautiful red, white, or bicolored blossoms that attracted pollinators to the entire garden. The plants showed incredible resilience to heat, continuing to flower and produce beans even when summer temperatures soared. Depression-era families would plant these beans along fences or trellises where they would climb 10 feet or higher, creating edible privacy screens that produced food from ground to sky. The beans could be picked young and tender for fresh eating, or left to mature into large, meaty, dried beans that provided protein-rich meals throughout winter. A single planting would produce continually for months, with yields so high that many families could trade their excess beans for other necessities. Dandelion, the cultivated wild green. While most people today think of dandelions as lawn weeds, Depression-era gardeners knew better. They cultivated special varieties of dandelions that produced leaves twice the size of their wild cousins. These weren't the bitter lawn invaders we know today. These were carefully selected plants that provided food from spring until winter. Every single part of the dandelion could be used. The young leaves made fresh salads in early spring before other greens were ready. The older leaves could be cooked like spinach. The flowers could be made into wine or fritters, and the roots could be roasted and ground as a coffee substitute. What made dandelions especially valuable was their appearance in early spring, often providing the first fresh greens after winter when families desperately needed vitamins. Depression-era gardeners would mark their cultivated dandelion patches with sticks, distinguishing them from wild plants. The deep-growing taproots meant these plants survived drought and poor soil, providing reliable food when other plants failed. Lamb's quarters, the iron-rich volunteer. Nature had its own way of helping during the Depression through a remarkable plant called lamb's quarters. This fast-growing green packed more iron than spinach and grew so easily that many called it nature's gift to gardeners. While some considered it a weed, Depression-era families knew its true value. It provided more nutrition than many cultivated greens, while requiring absolutely no care. The plants would appear on their own in spring, growing rapidly, to produce tender leaves that could be eaten raw in salads or cooked like spinach. What made lamb's quarters truly remarkable was its drought tolerance. It stayed green and productive even during the driest summers when other greens had long since withered. The plants would self-seed readily, ensuring a continuous supply year after year. Families would let some plants go to seed while harvesting others, creating a perpetual food source that cost nothing to maintain. The young shoots could be harvested like asparagus, while the mature leaves provided iron-rich nutrition throughout the growing season. Sea kale, the coastal survivor. The final vegetable in our journey brings us to the coastlines, where Depression-era families discovered the remarkable sea kale. This perennial vegetable had mastered the art of growing in salty, sandy soils, where few other food plants could survive. Like a gift from the sea, it provided two distinct harvests: tender, blanched shoots in early spring that tasted like asparagus, and thick, blue-green leaves throughout the summer that could be cooked like cabbage. Once planted, sea kale would return year after year, growing stronger and more productive with each passing season. The plants developed deep roots that could find moisture even in sandy soil, making them virtually drought-proof. Depression-era families living near the coast would establish patches of sea kale that would feed generations, with some plants producing food for over 20 years. Its salt tolerance meant it could grow in areas where other vegetables failed turning otherwise useless ground into productive garden space. The legacy lives on. These 25 vegetables aren't just plants. They're survival tools that helped families through America's toughest times. Each one was chosen for its ability to provide reliable food when it mattered most. Today, many of these varieties still exist, preserved by dedicated seed savers who understand their timeless value. If you found this journey through Depression-era gardening valuable, hit that like button and subscribe for more forgotten wisdom from the past. Which of these vegetables surprised you the most? Share your thoughts in the comments below. Until next time, when we'll uncover more survival lessons from our ancestors.